Erev Shabbat Shalom. Parshat Matot Maseh. It's a double parsha. It's the second week leading up to Tisha B'Av, which will be next a week from Sunday. And I want to talk about words. I want to talk about words because the lead-off issue in the parsha is about words. It's about vows. It's about oaths. It's a funny thing. After all the years that I've been studying the history of halakha, there were certain shifts that you notice over time. And one of the shifts is that up until maybe 150, 200 years ago, one of the major issues that preoccupied rabbis who were presented with legal questions was the question of oaths, the questions of vows. The laws of vows, the laws of oaths take up a big, huge amount of time, huge amount of space. It responds to literature, in the codes, in the Shulchan Aruch. And then, all of a sudden, certainly in the 20th century, disappear. It practically disappears. It's not like nobody discusses it, but relatively speaking, it's something really stunning. What happened? Well, before I offer my two cents as to what happened, let's talk about oaths, and let's talk about vows. What are they? An oath is, here I'm going with the halachic definition of oaths. An oath is an act, is a statement that I, well, there's a number of different types. There's the usual kind of oath we hear about is in courtroom. I say, you know, on my, you know, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and whatever the case might be. But that's not the kind of oath that really preoccupies the law. The kind of oaths that we encounter in halachic literature are the kind of oaths in which a person calls God as his witness, and says, "As God is my witness, I will do X, or I won't do Y." Okay. A vow is similar. I take a vow. I use a specific formula, and by my words, I instill holiness. I instill sanctity. I instill a special status in an object. And that special status prevents me from having access to it. I take a vow not to eat X. I take a vow not to go somewhere. I take a vow to go to the land of Israel, which means that I have to avoid, you know, where I live to go there. I take a vow to get tzedakah, to give charity, to give alms, to support somebody, which means that I have basically set aside part of my possessions, part of my money, which is now I can't touch because it has to be given for the purpose to which I set it. In other words, what oaths and vows, and the parsha talks about vows generally, is about the power of words. That simply by my making a statement, I can transform my relationship to a thing or to people. To the extent that if I don't honor my word, the consequences, the spiritual consequences are very, very terrible. On one level, if I violate my words as if I had trespassed against the temple, which is a very heinous crime for a spiritually, religiously sensitive and a religiously observant individual. Sometimes, when you take a vow, the power of the word that you take, you have to really think about what you're doing. I mean, because it's really very, it's very, very impressive. So, for example, Blee Netter, if I take this mouse, I don't mean to be trivial. But I take this mouse and I say, "Hare Zehekdesh, Blee Netter." Okay, I say, "This belongs to the temple." with a blink of an eye, that mouse has been transformed into something that belongs to the Torah, to the temple, and all of the restrictions and all of the status and all of the special status which adheres to something that belongs to the temple is automatically instilled in that thing. And in terms of ownership, it's not all mine anymore. I mean, I don't have to, in generally, you know, in Jewish law, if you want to sell something, you want to transfer something, you have to, you have to give it to the person you're giving it to. There's all kinds of stuff you have to do. Here, all you have to do is say words. Because in the Torah, words are power. Words are to be revered. And ultimately, the reverence that we hold for words and the way that a person's word is their bond also is rooted in the fact that language and words which have a meaning are a gift from God. Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu. God created the world with words. 10 statements. Created the world. The way that God mediates or bridges the inestimable distance between him and us is by communicating with words. Our using language is a privilege. And therefore, if we make a statement, then that statement, which participates in a gift from God, has to be observed, has to be true, has to be deferred to, and is binding. That's where vows, that's where oaths derive, it is from there that they derive their power. And that's the reason why misuse of language is such a, in Judaism, is such a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. And I'm not just talking about, you know, you don't see, you shake your hands and you don't, you shake hands and you don't keep your word, or you, but lying. Even, you know what, even swearing, profanity, it's not just a matter of it's uncouth. It's not just a matter of it's disgusting. Swearing is a profane doesn't really do it. It's a chilul, which means the same thing, but in Hebrew it's stronger. In other words, it is a denigration of something that God gave us and something that Jews don't do. We don't, you know, in Hebrew, we don't even, it's interesting, we don't even, we use euphemisms like crazy. For example, when you talk about a person, lo aleinu, is sick with cancer, we generally don't say cancer. We say machala kasha. Everything is, it's very interesting for a people that are so garrulous. We are very understated. In Hebrew, if you tell a situation, if you want to tell somebody that a disaster happened to you, you say ze lo pashut. It's not simple. I mean, it's not simple. It's a disaster. You don't go there. You respect the impact and the power of words. An ason, a disaster, has got to be very serious before you invoke it. Because to do otherwise would be to cheapen language. Indeed, when God, when the Torah says that Vayi Adam LeNefesh Chaya, that God created mankind and people became living beings, L'ruach, it's translated to Aramaic, L'ruach Mamalala. The capacity to speak is the ultimately divine action. That's part of our being created in the image of God. So our parsha, this whole question of the power of words and the power of vows, the ability to vow and to bind ourselves beyond that which the Torah requires, which is a broader discussion, and maybe I'll discuss this on another occasion, is because of our very, very profound respect for words and that words have meaning. Which brings us to the conundrum that I mentioned at the beginning. So how come this religious legal issue sort of disappeared or has significantly declined in its frequency in Jewish legal discourse? So I think part of it is because over the past 150 years, and certainly in the last 50 years, language has become cheapened. We don't respect words. We don't revere words. We don't revere our own words. Certainly with the rise of deconstruction in postmodernism, in which and reception theory and all these other things, where everything, all words have become relativized. I'm not saying that when we speak that there's not, that words don't change their meaning and so on and so forth, but in general there's been a cheapening of language and an extenuation of language, an attenuation of language. And as a result, even within religious circles, we don't revere words as much. And I think it's one of the things that we could look at in the run-up to Elul is a return to the reverence and even the fear of words and the responsibility that are being created with the capacity for language places upon us. Because at the end of the day, the thing that we're supposed to spend our time most with is, in fact, words. The words of Torah, because words of Torah, the words of God. Okay. Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov, and we will see you next time.